Chris Fryer is with us. He has co-written just an amazing book, originally published as Jack Nicholson Face to Face in 1975. Jack Nicholson, the Early Years, is the first book written about the enigmatic star and the only one to have Nicholson's participation. In 1975, Nicholson was just becoming a household name in spite of having already starred in, written, or produced 25 films, including the classics Easy Rider, Five Easy Pieces, The Last Detail, and Chinatown. To date, Nicholson has been nominated for 12 Academy Awards, won 3, has garnered 7 Golden Globe Awards, and took home the American Film Institute's Life Achievement Award at the age of 57. Authors Robert Crane and Christopher Fryer interviewed Nicholson for what began as a thesis for a University of Southern California film class, but quickly morphed into a larger portrait of Nicholson's unique craft, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Chris Fryer to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. It's great to be here.
Dave, can you just check his mic? There we go. Say hi again, Chris.
Hi, Joe. It's great to be here.
There you go. Excellent. You're on the air. Okay. So, you know, I find this story fascinating. So you started this as a thesis, and how did you originally have access to Jack Nicholson?
It was just luck, really, more than anything else. Robert Crane, my co-author, and I were in this class called The Film Heroes of the 30s and 60s at USC. And as part of that project, we thought we'd like to interview Jack Nicholson, who to us was the quintessential anti-hero. And luckily enough, my sister-in-law, her father was a publicist in Hollywood, and he found in the back of his Rolodex somewhere a phone number for Jack Nicholson, and he said, I don't know where this leads. It might be his publicist, might be his agent. Why don't you give it a call and see what happens? And we dialed the number, and Jack Nicholson answered the phone on the second ring.
Now, what you get in the book, which was surprising to me, is just how open he is and introspective about his career and his craft.
Yeah, he was amazingly open. He's always had this broader perspective about his career. It was never about the film he was doing or the film he would do next, but it was more about the body of work, which is the way he always referred to it. And he kind of looked at it in that regard. And so he picked projects and he did things based on how he saw it fitting into this larger vision of what he wanted to be as an actor. And it's partly why he never does interviews. He never goes on talk shows. It's why you don't have him sitting here and you've got me. it's because that anything that he does publicly diminishes what you might believe you see on the screen when you go see a Jack Nicholson film.
Why do you think that is so important? And does that ultimately, in your opinion, have a role in his success as an actor?
I think it does, especially early on. Early on, these early years, up through Chinatown, when you went to a Jack Nicholson film, you never knew what you were going to see, whether it was Five Easy Pieces or Carnal Knowledge, this outrageous character that he played in Carnal Knowledge, or then he plays a sailor in The Last Detail, Hal Ashby's film. And we talked to Hal Ashby in the book about Jack, and he plays Billy Badusky, this blue-tongued sailor. And it's just this great panoply of characters, you know, that he goes through, and you never knew what you were going to see. After, I think, Batman, you kind of became more attuned to what a Jack Nicholson film was going to be, and he started to play more of Jack than he was playing a character, I think.
When you talk about the body of work, is that a defined character, or is he really looking for things that show a very, very wide range?
I think it was the latter to begin with. He wanted to do things from all different character points of view. He was in talks with Stanley Kubrick at one point about playing Napoleon, and that would have been a really interesting film. We talked to him about that in the book. So I think he wanted to show his range, but I mean, he was never going to do Shakespeare. A guy from Neptune, New Jersey doesn't do Shakespeare.
Right.
And so there are certain limitations to even to Jack Nicholson's talent.
When you just reading that, the list of 12 Academy Awards, won three, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. That body of work, as you mentioned, is incredible. And I mean, there are the performances. It's hard to think of many like complete misses in his career.
Yeah, there are a few. Later on. Well, Heartburn, I mean, there are a few that just didn't work. Man Trouble is probably one of the worst films of all time.
Yeah.
And early on he had some misses too. He talks about it in the book. He did On a Clear Day You Can See Forever with Barbara Streisand. And as Jack says in the book, I did it for the money. And then other people have other opinions about why he did it, which is what makes it kind of interesting to see Jack from all these different perspectives. From Bruce Dern's perspective, he sees Jack's work in On a Clear Day as just a total, as Bruce says, a total toilet job. Bob Evans, the producer of the film, says, oh, I could blackmail him with it. He had a song that he sang in it, which they cut out. So he had a few misses, but for the most part, he's very astute about picking roles that are good for him.
And having seen that film, it just seems like a total lack of chemistry, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have much rapport with Vincent Minnelli, who directed the film. His whole character was sort of an afterthought and was rewritten. And as he says, the film could have been interesting. It could have been about ESP and all of that, but it missed on all counts. And I think they were just trying to bring some young box office to the film.
But the films that he has done and we think of as the quintessential Jack Nicholson films, and the films that he has done so has been awarded Oscars for, have been films that he plays against someone who is, I mean, you think of him and Shirley MacLaine in terms of endearment. I mean, that's a great, beautiful performance.
Right. And that role that he plays, Breedlove, I think is the name of the character, is maybe as close to Jack's real persona as you might get. This kind of wild guy, but also sensitive and thoughtful, and that's pretty close to what I would imagine, you know, the true Jack Nicholson really is.
But you think of somebody like Shirley MacLaine being able to play opposite him, and you wonder how many people would be able to do that as well as she did.
Well, that's true, but I think Jack as an actor, he's a really generous guy from what we understand. I've only been on the set with him a couple of times, but he gives a lot to the other actors and he makes other actors better. I mean, if you look at Anne Margaret in Carnal Knowledge, she gave a performance that was, you know, she was nominated for an Oscar. It was the best performance of her career, without a doubt. And he does that to people. He and Bruce Dern, who have a long time working relationship, they were great. And in King of Marvin Gardens, Jack plays against type. He plays this kind of mousy monologist. He just sits in a radio studio all the time and talks into a microphone. And he's not what we think of as that kind of, you know, volatile Jack Nicholson character. And it plays against type. And Dern plays the real rowdy character in the film. And they elevate each other, I think, in that way.
What went into the decision to re-release the book after all these years?
Well, it's part of University Press of Kentucky's film series, and their series editor is a fellow named Patrick McGilligan, who has written a biography of Nicholson, and in fact, we became friends. Bob and I became friends with him because he used material from the original release of this book, because it was the only book that talked to Jack, and they wanted to do something about Nicholson, and they asked us if we could write a new introduction and kind of bring it up to date, which we did, new photos and things like that. And That's kind of how it came around.
In putting the in doing the original project, I mean, you're obviously, you know, you're just a kid at that point, and doing this for a film studies class. So does that profoundly change you as of what you wanted to later do in your life?
Not really. I mean, yeah. I was 19 when we started this project, and it took 4.5 years. This was...
Finish the thesis, get the degree, and get out of Dodge.
Exactly. And, you know, in the course of all this, we did this to begin with just for the class. And Jack said, well, you have my blessing. Go ahead, do the book. But I can't help you with it. I'm really busy. But we didn't really need his help except to talk to him now and again. We were off and running, but this was on a planet a long time ago that didn't have internet. So we had to track down photos. We had to make hundreds of telephone calls to get people to do this. And after 4.5 years, we finally got it together. And I had always wanted to write and do that sort of thing. I know you spoke to Bruce Dern here. And
yeah.
That was his memoir that Bob and I collaborated
on. Yeah. And no, I was going to say, that's just a terrific book. Man, does he have stories.
Oh, he does. He knows everybody. He's been everywhere, and he's not afraid to tell you that, like it is.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
The book is Jack Nicholson, The Early Years by Robert Crane and Christopher Fryer. It is published by the University Press of Kentucky, and it's just a terrific biography. It's really a lot of fun to read. I being in the business that I'm in, I love reading interviews, and it's really well done.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Again, it's Jack Nicholson, The Early Years. Christopher Fryer, thank you very much for being with us. You can find out more information by checking out University Press of Kentucky. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.